Okay, welcome students once again to the new session, that is chapter number 4, income from salary. Now this is a very interesting chapter and a very big chapter, so we will be going very slow because this is very important, because more or less this is a part of our life. So income from salary should be known to you very thoroughly, not as a student, but as a human, as an individual also, you should know that what are the things comes under salary. So when you are filing the returns, you should also know. So from that perspective also, this chapter is very important. So pay attention. Are you ready? So chapter number 4, income from salary. Income from salary. Now see, when we are talking about income from salary, first of all, you should know when income from salary, which income comes under income from salary. So you should know that criteria of including the salary, including the income in salary. Now, when you are including the income in salary, it is when only when there is a relationship existing between the, as an employer and employee. If in a contract the relationship is like employer and employee, then only the income earned in this contract, in this agreement, or in this scenario, it will be taxable under the head income from salary. See, the MLAs and MPs are also getting salary, but MLAs or MPs are getting salary, they are the person who are elected by the people, so as to they will do perform certain tasks for the benefit of the society and for the people. So here in this situation, there is no relationship existing as an employer and employee, because the people are not the employer. People have elected them to do work on their behalf for their betterment. So in this case, the income from salary will not come into picture. Why? Because this is not income from salary. It is a salary. The MLAs and MPs are getting salary, but there is no relationship as an employer and employee. MLAs and MPs are not employee of anyone. So that is why salary received by MLAs and MPs are not recorded under the head income from salary. It will come in the head called income from other sources, income from other sources, which you are going to study with me in the coming session. Okay. So when you are taking an income under the head salary, first the relation should exist. What relation? There should be an employer and there should be an employee, and their relation is existing by the way of contract or by the way of anything, but there is a relationship existing, that is employer and employee, and whatever employee is giving services to the employer, for that in return consideration, the employer is paying certain thing, that all items, whatever the employer is paying for the consideration of the services rendered by the employee, that all income will come under the head salary. Okay, so let us talk about the pro forma. What are the things one by one? What are the things you have to take in income from salary? The very first is gross basic salary. Gross basic salary. Now, what is gross basic salary and why I said gross? See, when you join a company, at that time, they will, you know, make an agreement with you, appointment letter. In that appointment letter, they will tell that the minimum, every month you are going to get 40,000 rupees per month. Okay. Now, you work for 1 month. After a month, when you receive the salary, it is not 40,000. Because out, you know, from that, tax is deducted at source, then various other things get deducted. And after getting deducted, you get 36,000 or 34,000 in your hands. So that is net basic salary. I don't want net. Here when I'm talking about gross basic salary, I'm supposed to write 40,000, not 36. What you get in hand, that is net basic salary. No, I want gross. So whenever net is given, you have to consider in taxable income from salary, you have to consider the gross basic salary. So gross basic salary is this. In that, you have to add one thing. Dearness allowance. Why I tell my students to add one thing this year, this allowance, because allowance we are going to take in the later part of this session. Allowance is a salary, but it is not coming under the basic salary, gross basic salary. It is an extra thing which you get apart from the basic salary. But dearness allowance, you have to write along with gross basic salary, you have to add it and get the total outer column. Why? Because this total is used in the further calculation. In further calculation, that's the reason I always make the people learn in this way, that gross basic salary plus DA, because the total of these two gives me a final total, and that total is helpful in calculation of recognized provident fund and many other things. Okay, acha, uske baad, whatever you get from your employer, whether it is fees you are getting from the employer, it is a commission you are getting from the employer, if it is a bonus, acha, bonus paid should be written, declare will not come, bonus declare, did they declare the bonus, did you receive the bonus? No. So when you have not received the bonus, why you are paying tax on that? Simple as that. So bonus paid by the employer, okay, will come, acha, then in that case leave salary. In under section 10, I told you leave salary, right? So leave salary, what is leave salary? Now see, every employee is getting 2 days, suppose weekly off 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. So out of 365, you are already having a holiday of 104. So that means you are working for 261 days. Acha, in that 261 days, there are suppose 15 bank holidays. So 15 bank holidays. So you are working for 246 days, 15 bank holidays, suppose. Okay. For a teacher, there are lots of bank holidays, but for the firm, it is say about 15. And every many company gives 20 days or 30 days ka sick leave allotted to the employee. That they, if they fall sick, they can take this holiday. So if you are taking holiday more than this 30 days, then your salary may get deducted. But if your sick leave is less than 30 days, your salary will not get deducted. So in short, you are working in a year for only 216 days. Acha, suppose the people who see in 104 days, the Saturday, Sunday, so you are not working. It is not possible to work because the office is closed. Acha, 15 days public holiday, again the office is closed, you cannot work. But the 30 days sick leave which is allotted by the company, it may be 30 days, it may be 20 days, it may be 10 days, different. But I am taking 30 days just to make you understand, okay? So there should not be any argument. I know you are thinking, sir, we don't get 30 days. Who told you 30 days? I agree with you. I just took an example. Is it okay? To make you understand what is leave salary. Is that clear, mera beta? Yes. So I can understand. When you are watching this video, you are getting this conversation in your mind, and which because of the strong telepathy, I got your message. Okay. So yes, I read your message. Telepathy is very strong. So I know in various company, it may be 15 days because I have never worked in a company. So whichever company I have worked with, that is a construction company, that in that too, there is no sick leave. Means if you are not going, this thing is got cancelled like that. Okay. Okay. So 30 days I am taking. So others, suppose I am using Chyawanprash. I have taken Chyawanprash. So because of Chyawanprash, I have never fall ill. Okay. So others, as compared to others, I worked for 13 months and they work for 12 months. You will say, sir, 13 months? In which calendar you have 13 months? I know, but this 30 days extra which I worked with, others have taken this leave, but I have worked in that. So this 30 days, 1 month salary is there with me in the financial year. So that is my choice. I can withdraw that salary. I can withdraw that salary in any of the month. So people like me, whose income is not regular, I know that my child's school get reopened in the month of June. So in the month of June, I have to pay her fees, school fees, her uniform fees, books and everything. So in that particular month, we need an extra amount apart from the regular amount. So I withdraw my 30 days in that month of June. So that monthly income, that the extra 1 month which you earned because of going to the work on for the sick leave in lieu of sick leave, that is called leave salary. In government company, we get the amount for working in this 30 days extra. But in private company, they don't give money. They said ki if you are working in this, you are not going to get any extra amount. So it is better to take this leave. So they do what they do, they take the leave and they enjoy in the month of December or in the month of Diwali, in the vacation time, because it's the vacation time of the children. So they go out of town taking the leave in that. Otherwise, it will not get carried forward to the next year. So that 30 days ka leave get wasted. Na? So people from private industry, private companies, they take this leave and enjoy with the family. Okay. But in government, they are being paid. Suppose you assume that the private company also pays the sick leave salary. So if you are taking that leave salary in every year, may 1 month, you are withdrawing that salary in the same year, then it is come under the leave salary. But if you plan that I don't want this salary, you keep it with you and you give this amount accumulated at the end of the at the time of my retirement. So when you are retiring at that time, when you're getting leave salary, it will be called as leave salary encashment, leave encashment salary. What is that called? Leave encashment. And that situation, that is a different thing. But this, you have withdrawn the salary. Okay? You have to withdraw. 10 months, you have to withdraw. Suppose you worked for 25 years and every year you have worked one extra month. So that means 25 months ka salary got accumulated with the company. So it is a rule that you have to withdraw 10 months ka salary. In between, in a year, in a whole period of your service, and remaining you can withdraw at the time of retirement. Okay, so if you are withdrawing every year, so it is leave salary. But if you are withdrawing at the time of retirement, then that is leave encashment salary. So we have to deal separately with that. That is what we have studied in income from income exam under section 10, that is chapter 3. In the previous chapter, you might have learned that leave salary is exempted under section 10 AA. Okay, so that is exempt. I'm talking about leave encashment salary. So leave salary is clear. Acha, profit in lieu of leave. Profit in lieu of leave. Acha, some of the company gives the share of profit in lieu of leave in the which they have earned because the people have worked in that sick 30 days extra, na? In that 30 days, because of their work, they have earned some profit. So some of the company give them that profit ka share also along with salary. Some of the company. ठीक है, so profit in lieu of leave, LIE, lieu of leave. अच्छा, that is, then after that, you have ex gratia. Now what is ex gratia? Ex gratia. Ex gratia is a type of bonus for doing extraordinary performance. So that you may get every month, or you may get in a particular month, you have done extraordinary. So that is a type of bonus only for doing extraordinary performance. ठीक है ना, the best employee of the year. You know, you go to McDonald's, or if you go to Domino's Pizza, they have stick the photograph of the people, the best employee of the month, best employee. So every month, either it may be the same person who's earning every month the same best employee, or it may be different people. So the year you might be getting, in the year 1 month you might be getting ex gratia, or 2 months you might be getting ex gratia. That is for external. That is also a part of the salary, because you get that thing from your employer. I told you, whenever something you are getting from the employer, whatever you are getting from the employer, it comes under salary. Whether it is in kind or cash, it will come under salary, apart from basic salary. Okay, ex gratia, then employer contribution. Employer contribution to recognize provident fund. Employer. Okay, so whatever you are getting from the employer, that will come either in cash or in kind, it will come under the head salary. So similarly, see, the gross basic salary which is fixed by the company is 40,000, but you are not getting 40,000 in hand. Some part of the amount get deducted under in the name of recognized provident fund. And recognized provident fund is a scheme where whatever amount is deducted from your salary, same amount need to be computed by contributed by the employer. See, your amount which is deducted, did I take the net gross basic salary? No, I have taken gross basic salary. I have taken gross basic salary. So your amount, whatever your amount is getting deducted, that is there in gross basic salary. Extra additional amount you are getting from employer, so that employer contribution to recognized provident fund. So employer also contribute the same. Employer also contribution contribute the same to the employee, ठीक है, सेम अमाउंट, वॉट एवर अमाउंट इज डिडक्टेड, सो दैट इज एन एक्स्ट्रा एडिशनल इनकम. नाउ इफ ऑन दैट इनकम, इफ फुल दैट, इफ दैट इनकम इज फुल्ली टैक्स, देन इट इज अ लॉस फॉर द एम्प्लॉय. सो द टैक्स प्रोविजन गिव सम एग्जम्पशन. नाउ वॉट इज दैट एग्जम्प्ट? लेस एग्जम्प्ट अंडर सेक्शन 10, विच आई टोल्ड यू, आई एक्सप्लेन यू दिस अंडर सेक्शन 10. So what is exempted? That is 12% of gross basic salary plus DA. That is the reason I made you write gross basic salary and DA 12 together. I told you na, you have to write gross basic salary. So gross basic salary plus DNS allowance, the total which you get. From that total, 12% of the amount, if every month ka 12% of the amount, if the employer is contributing more than the 12% of the gross basic salary and DNS allowance, then whatever extra amount the employer is contributing, that is taxable, rest is exempt. Whatever extra amount is which you received, whatever extra amount which you receive, that is taxable. So what is the exempt amount? 12% of gross basic salary. 12% of gross basic salary. So that uske upar, after 12% uske upar, suppose 12% of gross basic salary is 12,000 and your employer contributed 15,000. So 15 minus 12. So what is the taxable amount? 3,000. Suppose the gross basic salary plus 12% of the gross basic salary is 12,000 and you received from the employer 8,000. So you received 8,000, but the exempt limit is 12,000. So the keep this in mind, the exemption should not make your income negative. Deduction can make your income negative. Deduction is claimed by, deduction is the charged at the end of the total income, whereas exemption is deducted on the spot from the income. And exemption should not be more than the income earned. Exemption should not make the income negative. So employer's contribution to recognized provident fund is whatever the amount is, less exempt under section, at the rate 12% of the gross basic salary and DA. So that will give you a figure which is taxable. Similarly, you will get interest on recognized provident fund. You will get interest on this above. So if the interest you receive, that is an income, if on that income is fully taxed, then you will not get much benefit out of that. So there is again a exempt amount. What is exempt? Exempt is 9.5%. So if you are getting any interest, recognized provident fund ka interest more than 9.5, so whatever amount is more than 9.5, it is charged, taxable. But if you are getting income interest less than 9.5%, then full amount is exempt. Okay, so this is the income which you are getting. Now we will consider the allowance. Now I am taking the allowance. Now there is a special thing about allowance, that allowance, whatever allowance you are receiving, whatever allowance you are receiving from the employer, it is taxable. What amount is taxable? See, suppose you received an allowance, suppose 5,000, and out of that you spend 4,000. So remaining 1,000 is taxable. So from the allowance, whatever you spend is deducted, not more than the income you received. Suppose you received allowance 5,000 and you are spending 8,000, that means it is making the income negative. Exemption should not make your income negative. So any allowance, whatever allowance you are taking, take the allowance, and how much you have spent from that allowance. It may be traveling allowance, lunch allowance, medical allowance, special allowance, whatever allowance you are getting. From the allowance, the very important thing in the allowance is what? Allowance received less exempt, how much amount you have paid. So any allowance less amount spent will be deducted and net is taxable. Only few of the allowance I'm going to discuss with you, in that spend amount is not deducted. Few allowances are like that, spend amount is not deducted. So what we have to do? We have to calculate. In each and every allowance, whatever allowance you get, suppose you get traveling allowance 50,000, less exempt, how much you have paid? Spend 40,000, outer may 10,000. Acha, you received traveling allowance 50,000, less spend 60. Sir, 60 is making the income negative. No. So what is the deduction? Apna exempt amount 50,000. The exemption should not make your income negative. Okay. So allowance, the special point in the allowance is what? Whatever allowance you receive, less the amount you spend, that will be deducted and remaining amount is taxable, except few allowance. In that one, the very first is HRA. Now what is HRA? House rent allowance. Now I told you that you are relocated from Mumbai to Bangalore for the job. So it is a duty of the company, it is a responsibility of the company to give you accommodation. So if the company is having their staff quarters, they can give you accommodation. But if they don't have, so what the company does, you know, they give you rent. Rent ka amount. Well, you make an agreement, submit that agreement to us. Submit that agreement to us and take money every month on a rental. That is called house and rent allowance. So house rent allowance less the exempt amount. I told you now, the exempt amount, when I was explaining you under section 10, 10-11. When I was explaining you 10 under section 10, income exempt under section 10, there I explained you that HRA is exempt under section 10-13A. I told you, I will explain you what is the amount which is prescribed in the Income Tax Act. So that amount we are going to calculate now. So exempt amount is what? First of all, exempt can be claimed only when you are showing the rent agreement. If you are not showing any rent agreement in Bangalore, you have a place which is owned by your sister. Your sister told, go there and stay there. So you are staying in your sister's house and you are taking rent from the company. In that case, if you are not showing the rent agreement, then full amount will be taxable to you. You can claim the exempt if there is a rent agreement. So what you do, in return, you ask your sister, brother-in-law, to make an agreement. And bichara brother-in-law is facing the tax amount because he is showing the income. Hai na? For my, kya bolte, biwi ka bhai. Sari khudai ek taraf, biwi ka bhai ek taraf. Hai na? To biwi ke bhai ke liye, I am suffering a loss. I am suffering, the husband is sister's husband is suffering a loss for the sake of his brother-in-law. Understood? So there, if I am showing an agreement, then I can claim the exempt. Now, what is the exempt amount? Sabse pehle, 1A, 50% or 40% of gross basic salary. Sir, 50% or 40%? When you will take 50% when you are staying in metropolitan city? There is only 4 metropolitan city on paper right now. There may be many metropolitan, but on paper, as per the Income Tax Act, there is only 4 metropolitan city: Delhi, Kolkata, Chennai, Mumbai. Mumbai, not Nai Mumbai. Okay, Mumbai, Navi Mumbai is not coming under the metropolitan city. Okay, so if you are staying in this 4 city, metropolitan city, then the first claim amount is 50% of the gross basic salary. That is the first amount. If you are staying in metropolitan city, out of 4 metropolitan city, Mumbai, Delhi, Chennai, Kolkata, okay? So then 50% of the gross basic salary will be the one calculation. B, second point, rent paid, because you are showing an agreement, nothing, in that you are paying rent. Rent paid minus 10% of gross basic salary, rent paid by you, actual rent paid by you, minus 10% of the gross basic, that is the second amount. Third, actual amount received as HRA. So we have 3 amount, either 50% or 40%. If you are staying in metropolitan city, 50% you can claim. If you are not staying in metropolitan city, so it is 40% of the gross basic salary, whatever the case may be. So that is one amount. Second amount is rent paid or 10% of the amount, 10% of the gross basic salary. That is the second amount. Third amount, actual amount received as HRA. This one. Okay, so this one is the same. So out of these 3, whichever is I am writing it in a separate color. Lowest will be deducted and exempt from HRA under section 1013A. Under section 1013A. I hope HRA is clear. HRA housing allowance is received from the employer. Total amount less. You can claim exempt only when you are staying on a rental basis. For that, you have to submit the agreement to the company. Then only you can claim the exemption. Otherwise, you cannot claim the exemption. I repeat. Okay. Achha, exemption amount is calculated. There are 3 points to calculate. One, 50% of the gross basic salary if you are staying in metropolitan city, or 40% of the gross basic salary if you are staying in non-metropolitan city. Okay, so 50 or 40, that you have to decide depending upon the address. Second, that is first amount. Second amount, rent paid, actual rent paid by you as per the agreement, minus 10% of the gross basic salary. Third, actual amount received as HRA from the company. Three amounts are there. Out of this three amount, which is the lowest amount, that will be allowed as exemption under section 13A, 1013A. Okay, so that will be written in the outer column. Understood? I hope you understood, everyone. I hope you understood, everyone. Okay, next. I told you that housing allowance exemption under section 1013A. Now, in allowance, all the allowance may, the very important thing is what? All other allowance which you received, from that you have to deduct the amount spent. But there are few allowances where you are not supposed to deduct the amount spent, but for that you have to calculate. So first I showed you housing allowance. Now second, I am showing children education allowance. Now your company is giving you children ka education ke liye some allowance. Suppose you receive 1 lakh. So 1 lakh you receive in a year, out of that you have paid 80,000. But here, paid will not get deducted. I told you all the allowances may you have to pay, whatever amount is paid, that is deducted and remaining is taxable. But few allowances are there where paid amount is not taken into consideration. So one of them is children education allowance. Less exempt. Isme exempt kitna? It is a rule from the government that exempt amount is 100 rupees per month per child. Up to two children. That means you might have received allowance 80,000 and you have only one child. So how much exemption you can claim? Only 1200 rupees. So 1200 is the maximum amount you can claim for one child and maximum you can claim for two child, not more than two. So children education allowance, the allowance ka figure has been increased every year, but the deduction amount is still the same which you have set up in 1961 Income Tax Act. Understood? Okay. So what is children education allowance ka limit of exemption? 100 rupees per child per month. That means 1200 per child for the whole year, and up to two children you can claim. Okay, that is children. And the next is entertainment allowance. See, nowadays in various private companies, in the name of entertainment, every employee was given, you know, there is a party or an annual function in the company where you people perform and you party, you enjoy having good food, everything is there. So, or you, the company takes you for a picnic for 1 day, 2 days. So that is entertainment. But in the government company, this all things doesn't happen. So they give cash for entertainment. So that is entertainment allowance. Now in entertainment allowance, you have spent whatever. See, you received entertainment allowance 1 lakh rupees. Out of that, you have spent 180,000 rupees. That's actually you are supposed to charge only, but the taxable amount is only 20,000. I told you, na? All the allowance may amount spent you have to deduct, but there are few allowance where amount spent is not deducted. There you have to claim the exemption by calculating. So entertainment allowance may, whatever entertainment allowance you received, na, you write it in the outer column. It is fully taxable. Acha, in entertainment allowance, you are not getting exemption, but you are getting deduction. Deduction is at the end. When you get the total, na, from the total income, you get the deduction overall. Deduction is claimed by everyone, but exemption, samjhe ki nahi? So yahan par in this entertainment allowance, there is no exemption. There is no exam, but there is deduction. Now, what is that deduction amount? You have to calculate that deduction amount. So, I am showing this entertainment allowance का deduction amount. Entertainment allowance. अच्छा, but it is not deducted on the spot, but it will be deducted from the total. So entertainment allowance में deduction you have to calculate. So I am writing the deduction. अच्छा, deduction याद रखना. Deduction you have to calculate only. The deduction is available only for the government employee. Deduction is available only for the government employee. Non-government employee, जितना भी entertainment allowance you receive, fully taxable. For the government employee, what is the amount of? So it's, first is 1/5 of gross basic salary. This is the first amount. Second one, actual amount received as entertainment allowance EA, and third one is rupees 5,000. So whichever is lower. So that is allowed as deduction. That means maximum. See, at the time in the year 1972-73, when my dad was working in a Mumbai Municipal Corporation as a security guard in a Sion hospital, he was getting salary of 72 rupees. So this 5,000 at that, during that era, is a very big amount. But still today, it is the same. At that time, 70 rupees month, 72 rupees monthly salary, whole year ka salary into 10, 700 or 2 months, 1400. So 8,400 full year ka salary. So full, in case of full year ka salary, 8,400, 5,000 is a very big amount. But now, is 5,000 have a meaning? Sir, is such a do mat na? Acha, for non-government employee, to ye hai nahi. Ye kiske liye? Only for government employee ke liye ye deduction hai. Baki to kisi ke liye bhi nahi hai. ठीक है, सो व्हाट यू हैव टू डू फॉर एंटरटेनमेंट अलाउंस, यू हैव टू चार्ज फुल्ली, मतलब राइट इन द आउटर कॉलम, बट उसका डिडक्शन यू हैव टू कैलकुलेट एट द एंड एंड शो इट देयर एंड ओनली फॉर द गवर्नमेंट एम्प्लॉय. ओके, सो आई टोल्ड यू ऑल द अलाउंस में व्हाट आर द थिंग्स यू हैव टू टेक अलाउंस में, ऑल अलाउंसेस अमाउंट लेस द एग्जेम्प्ट अमाउंट यू स्पेंड, बट फ्यू अलाउंस, थ्री अलाउंस आर देयर. वन इज एचआरए, second one is children education allowance, and fourth third one is entertainment allowance. Here the deduction amount is not the paid amount, we have to calculate.